Sunday, June the 16th.
Welcome to this Burlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
It won't have escaped your notice that we're heading towards a general election, unless you've been living under a rock somewhere. And we've invited, as we normally do, all the local candidates for the election in this part of Ipswich, which covers most of Ipswich, except a little bit of Ipswich north, to join us Sunday by Sunday. And we're delighted today to have Adria Prittock and Jack Abbott from the Green Party, from the Labour Party. Would you give them both, as they come, a Burlington welcome? Yeah, you can take social media. Social media is a cruel place, isn't it? So I'm going to take my hat off and you can take your glasses off. 11 out of 10 for being prepared to wear them, even for a moment at such a time like this. Which kind of brings me to where I'd love to start. It is absolutely rock hard being an MP, I think, from my observation of it. It's totally tough. What I'd love just to give you both a moment to share is, so why? Why? Maybe start with you, Adria. Why? I mean, honestly, have you seen the telly, the radio, the news, the print? Why would you do that?
Can you hear? Is that on? Okay. Hi, everybody. It's great to be here, and thank you so much for inviting us to come along today. Why? That's a very good question. I have been involved in sort of things environmental from a young age, I suppose. I grew up in a rural area, and the environment has always been really, really important to me. And as time's gone on, it's become more important. And as we have treated the environment increasingly negatively, we are polluting the air we breathe, the water that we drink, you know, we're contaminating our land. We are not treating our environment in a way that makes any sense at all for us. And that does have a huge impact on us as people, you know, the people and the planet. Without those two things go totally together. And it's got to the point, I think, I've worked in my career in the environmental sector, and it's got to the point where we are so not getting the message that I thought, you know, I'm going to have to stand. I'm going to have to stand as a candidate for the Green Party. I've been supporting the Green Party for years. And even though we are a small party, the message that we have is so blooming important. And it's more important now than ever. So, you know, this is the decade that we've really got to do something about climate change. I mean, we've got our glasses. So there we go. You know, we're going to have to wear our glasses a lot, aren't we, with the sun. You know, the weather is not doing what it should be doing. This is having a huge impact on all of us and the environment that we share with all other species. So now is the time. We've got to stand. I mean, Jacob, here he is. He's standing up. He's a leader. You know, we all have to do our bit. We just have to take a stand. And this is my stand. So that's it. For people, for the planet, that's why I'm here. That's the why.
And for you, Jack.
Yeah, you're right. Look, is this on? Yes, it is on. Yeah, you're right. It is a tough job. I'm not blind to that. It has huge impact on your family in particular, who I keep off social media at all costs, because it's not always a pleasant place to be. You know, incredibly long hours and all that sort of stuff, but it's not actually really about you in terms of, you know, you might be the face on the leaflets or your name or whatever, but for me, I guess there's probably a couple of things. So I moved to Suffolk about nearly 25 years ago, so it's been my home for a very, very long time. I've sort of been campaigning in Ipswich actually since about the age of 21, since I came back from uni. So about 12 years now, it feels quite a lot longer. I'm 33 going on 53 now. It's quite a long campaign. But I think there's probably two things. It's a bit of a put your money where your mouth is. I remember shouting the TV once, really, really frustrated with what was going on. And I think my dad sort of despairingly said, well, why don't you go and do something about it? And I, in a bit of a teenage way, I was like, well, maybe I will. So I think if you do really passionately believe something and you believe that actually things can be better and should be better, I'm in a really privileged position where I feel I'm able to do that. It's something I've dedicated most of my life to, the Labour Party and politics. And I think a couple of things really drive me, particularly now, and I said this to you before we came in, is, as I say, I've been knocking on the doors for over a decade in Ipswich. I was really privileged to serve as county councillor and particularly focus on education and children's services. I've never seen poverty like I'm seeing now. But actually more than that, I've never seen people so exhausted just to get by, not just in terms of their own personal finances, but this feeling that nothing works at all, that they can't get a dentist appointment, that GP appointments are almost nowhere to come by, that if you call the police, are they likely to come? It's built in this sort of huge malaise. And I think actually it's not just a cynicism about politics. It's more than that. It's this lack of hope, this loss of hope that even if I did vote for you or vote for a different party, I don't believe that things can get better because everything is so broken and overwhelming. So, as I said, it's for me what drives me is sort of hope in a way. It's that fundamental belief that things can be better and should be better than what people are experiencing now. And look, if I was really lucky to get in and become the MP for Ipswich and we have a Labour government, I'm under no illusions about my in-tray when I get there. You know, there's a huge amount to fix. And one of the things I think about all the time is this guy said to me on the doorstep a few months ago, well, if I vote for you, mate, how will my life be better tomorrow? And I had to say, it's not going to be tomorrow. It might take a few months or even a few years to feel that things are easing a little bit. But actually, what we're facing now isn't inevitable. And as I say, that I'm really positive about our future here in Ipswich. I think we've got so much potential, and I love the place, and I love Suffolk. It's my home. It's been my home for a very, very long time. It's where my family and my friends are. And so, you know, it might be a bit of ego as well. You know, you put yourself up for election and all that sort of stuff. But I've got a really clear idea about what I want to do and why I want to do it here. And I feel really positive about what we can do. So that's sort of...
Great. So, yeah. I mean, before we go on, yeah. Both of you, and this is true, we have absolute admiration for anyone who serves for the greater good in public life because it's a rock hard thing to do. And we celebrate the good that all of you are trying to do. Let's keep going, Jack, with where you were. That guy on the doorstep, and I'll give you a chance in a moment, about Ipswich. If you're 6 months' time, what would you hope to see in Ipswich 6 years' time? What would you hope for Ipswich? What does it need, and how will we get there?
Yeah, a few things kind of come up on the doorstep quite a lot. For example, the town centre is a really good symbol of where that sort of malaise a little bit what we were talking about. And look, I absolutely know we've got some problems in Ipswich, but actually we've got so much opportunity here as well. You know, the football club's just gone up. I see someone with an Ipswich Town shirt. But that is hugely exciting for the town. Actually, when we moved up was the first time we came up in the playoffs with George Burley 20 or 25 years ago nearly. And so it lifted the whole town then, and it will do so again. It's amazing to see Portman Road full every single week, but also what that brings into the local economy and actually giving people joy. I mean, sport is joyful and sometimes it's not, obviously. We've got the England match later on, so I'll keep you posted about that. But also, we've just had Brighton the Corners Festival. We've got these award-winning parks. We've got arts and theatre and culture is really thriving. So I also think we've got this real window of opportunity here over the next few years where if you've got someone who can really understand and grasp the potential of the place, you know, your job as an MP, you don't have this pot of individual money sitting with you, but what you do have is sort of a bit of influence, a bit of soft power, and actually it's no good sort of just being a keyboard warrior as an MP and just whinging about how bad things are. Your job actually is to be almost a walking, talking advertising board for the town. And if you want businesses to come in, I've got to go and meet those managers or the CEOs or those owners and say, here's all the fantastic things that are happening in Ipswich. This is why you should come and set up in the town, provide more jobs, provide investment, a reason for people to go in. I think that's quite exciting, actually. And so that's, again, part of your job as an MP. You've got to sell the place. And if you're not proud of it, then sure as anything, nobody else is going to be either. So, you know, I want to restore that kind of pride of place back into Ipswich. I think we've got all the makings and all the potential of something really special over the next few years. So I'm excited, as I say.
Great. And like Jack, Adrian, you've also served and lived in Ipswich for a good number of years. Just share a little bit about your heart for the town. What does it need? What would you hope to see?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, like Jack, I've been in Ipswich for a very long time in Ipswich or very close by. Reared my children here. My kids went to Suffolk One and all of that stuff. So I've been around for a long time and working in Ipswich for about 26 years now, a long time. So I actually agree with everything that Jack's just said. You know, we've got a fantastic town and it's full of so much potential. I mean, the things are going seriously wrong, have been going wrong for some time. And like Jack says, he's talked about sort of the infrastructure. I think that the thing also that's really important is about the community. It's about the people in Ipswich. It's about us. It's about all of you, isn't it? And I think we live in a town that it's losing its way. It's lost its way. And I think that we really need to do so much more to try and bring communities together. And I think with communities working together, you know, closing those divides, bridging those gaps, we can actually build Ipswich into something really, really special. But, you know, it does need some help. It needs all of us to do our bit. And it is all around. It's things around bringing business back into the town. It's about sorting out the congestion, you know, being so wedded to the car. You know, we need to be walking and cycling in the town, really enjoying our community spaces. The parks are fantastic, looking after those. The waterfront, the river, you know, we've got some fantastic assets that we're not really making the most of. So there is terrific potential. And I think, you know, being in the Houses of Parliament, being in Westminster, that is where we need to really shout about Ipswich and what it's been missing out for too long. So yeah, get Ipswich building again, get it, you know, housing, businesses, but most of all, it's about us, the communities, and bringing people together, making Ipswich the place that it really can be.
So just building on that a little bit, the first 6 months, you're the MP for Ipswich, what would you chase after? What would you really chase down? That's what I'm going to go for in my first 6 months. What would it be?
I think a lot of it has got to be about finding out about what makes Ipswich tick, and really bringing people together and working on solutions together. I think there's no magic wand. Is that you can't just stand, sit in Westminster and wave a magic wand. That's not going to help. But it's got to be about, working out what are the fundamentals that we need, getting the resources into the town to be doing that. And it's got to be, you know, for me, it is around the things that make it possible for people to be together. So it is around, again, it's cars, getting rid of cars. It's about public transport. It's about housing. It's about community centres, getting some of these resources back into the town and actually rebuilding again, because we have just been depleted of resources and care and time for Ipswich for so long. So it's just getting some of that energy and really, you know, shouting about Ipswich and just getting it up and going.
First 6 months, Jack, what are you chasing down?
I think probably one or two things. So actually over the last 2 years since I've been a candidate, I've been having quite a lot of conversations with businesses, with organisations, charities, and kind of councils and other organisations as well. I'll be really frank, I'm really quite impatient, right? In a positive way, I think. And by that I mean, growing up in Suffolk, I absolutely love it, but one of the things that's always bugged me, shall we say, has been how slow things can be sometimes. We're still having the same conversations about certain things 20-odd years later when we first moved up. And I remember talking to an education leader only a few weeks ago, and she said she was so frustrated because one of the big business boards in town, she wants to go and meet, she's got some exciting projects, and she was told, oh, yeah, they all sound great, we'll have the next meeting in 6 months. And it's like, we don't have time to do that anymore. You know, we don't have time to sort of sit there, have endless sort of meetings. So I'll be really frank. I've kind of had those conversations already. I've had those meetings and I've told these people, I really want to drive stuff forward quite quickly in the next 6 months. I don't want to just endless talking shops anymore. We need to hit the ground running, with those people and with the best will in the world. And you might know what I mean about this. There are some people who've been around for a very long time. I call them the unofficial Suffolk set. It's the same sort of people you see a lot of kind of, events and everything down. Now some of them have given incredible service to Suffolk, but also it is slow. It is really slow and things don't seem to change quick enough. And so part of it is like, I want to build a vehicle that we can drive forward. As I say, I don't have a big pot of money on a personal level, but what I do have is soft power and influence to be able to get people around the table and say, right, what are our immediate projects as a town? How are we going to drive them forward together? You're either on board or you're not. We're going to go down this route. So there is the town centre stuff, which I touched on earlier, and we might come on to some of the bits, but the other big, passion I have, and I said already, I used to work around education, and done a lot of work with young people in particular. we've got this huge opportunity coming down the road with the energy transition and the move to net zero. We've got Sizewell happening, which create 9,000 jobs, but huge offshore wind. We've got solar. We've got some fantastic companies doing insulation and other schemes as well. One of the bits that's missing at the moment is a lot of those jobs tend to go elsewhere because we've not got the skills chain, or at least we've not got the synergy between the education organisations and businesses and other people driving this stuff on. Again, part of your job is to bring that stuff together. So I want to make sure that all these thousands of jobs that are coming down the line are going to be taken up by local people in Ipswich, whether that's kids coming through college at the moment or people able to upskill and retrain. That is how we're going to get some more money into the town, how we're going to give people secure, skilled jobs. So that is a project for me in the next 6 months, to start building those relationships, those chains, so that over the next 5 years, and it is a really big 5 years for us, if we don't take advantage now, those jobs will go elsewhere and we'll lose this fantastic opportunity that's open to us. So on that specific point, that is going to be an area where I'm really, really going to work with, and say, the university, colleges, other education providers, as well as all the other businesses on a local, regional and national level as well, to really make sure we're taking full of opportunity here in Ipswich.
Tell us a little bit, both of you, about faith. We've all got faith. Even atheists have got faith in nothing, or we've got faith in something or someone. How would you describe your faith, Adriana?
Well, you probably guess what I'm going to say, aren't you? I mean, the environment and it is such an important part of my being, and you know, without it, you know, it's very healing. I mean, it is. We know that, don't we? With, you know, mental health, and or for any of us, if we go for a walk, if we go out there, listen to the birds sing where there are birds still, you know, it's very restorative. It's very good for our spirit. You know, going and standing near water by a river, whatever. You know, that is my faith. That's where it's at, really. And by harming that, you know, we are harming ourselves. We are part of that. You know, if we think we stand outside that, we've got a big misconception there.
So. What about you, Jack? How would you describe your faith?
Yeah, it's funny. On a sort of really personal level, my grandparents were one set with CV, other set more on the Baptist side. My parents are recently converted to Buddhism. This morning, actually, with the Muslim community, Eid, and we've got a fantastic array of communities here in Ipswich as well. So I think part of that in your personal experience do feed in not necessarily your faith per se, but your values and how you want to sort of hold yourself and things like that. And I think I think back, my parents always mention it. You might remember when you're at school, you get these report cards from your teachers. And my mum and dad always say we had a great teacher in year three, so when I was about 7 years old, and she said, Jack has a very strong sense of justice, but it sometimes gets him into a bit of trouble, sort of thing. And I think there's always been a little bit of that right through. I always get very, very annoyed where I see particularly vulnerable people. I've done a lot of work around special educational needs, and I think the way that some of the children and families have been treated in Suffolk has been absolutely appalling. And I get, to be honest, quite angry about that. You know, that's actually, different things drive you sometimes in politics. I wouldn't necessarily say anger is always a helpful one, but it is something that gives me that sort of fire to say, actually, I'm really, really not happy with what I see as quite a big injustice. And met WASPI women on Friday as well. And so I think that is where a lot of my values and sort of faith in, it's called sort of small F faith, sure, comes from, in the sense that I do firmly believe in sort of, you're meant to look out for vulnerable people. You're meant to show compassion to people. And that sort of drives my politics, I think, as well. So sure. I think that's probably...
Can I jump in there then?
Please,
because
do.
This is full of self-interest. We think the church in Ipswich is brilliant. We think this particular church is amazing. And along with loads of churches in the town, we think we're doing a load of brilliant good in the streets and neighbourhoods and communities around the town. We're the largest voluntary organisation in Ipswich by a country mile. What support would we expect, Jack?
Plenty. I mean, for me, what the voluntary and charity sector, and I'm not trying to get too political here, but you have, in a way, provided safety nets for people that have been really quickly eroded in quite a few places. I know that other churches provide top-up shops and food banks and things like that. But I'll be really frank in also a way, whilst I absolutely applaud you and am grateful for all the incredible work you do for the communities here in Ipswich, you should never be the first or last port of call for basic services being provided. And I think my worry a little bit, whether it's organisations yourselves or other charities, the demand that is now being put on your shoulders is extraordinary. I know people at some charities are really struggling for volunteers because people are having to work more, so it means they've got less time to be able to volunteer. And as I say, kind of right at the top of my piece earlier, the sort of poverty and exhaustion I'm now seeing in Ipswich is extraordinary. And frankly, organisations like yourselves and charities can't bear that burden anymore.
Sure. So forgive me if I dig a little, I totally accept what you're saying, that we shouldn't be the first or left or last people standing. Often we're the first and the last in a community, because this church will be here long after all of us have gone. So there's a sense of credibility locally. The relationships are here. There's a lack of trust in institutions. There's a massive distrust in government, if you've noticed that. And therefore, are you suggesting that you will take that care over again, or would you help us to continue to provide it in a better way and more sustained?
It's a partnership, right? And all those things you mentioned are absolutely true. It's the sense of place. Where do you feel safe? You know, this place will be home for a lot of people. And as you say, you might not want to go into a council building for support. And all of that's really, really important. But as I said, it should be in partnership. You shouldn't be relied upon to do the state's or the local council's job for them. And this is sort of my fear a little bit. And so, yes, I'm a partner for you. Your ear is closer to the ground in some ways than I am. We've talked to something like 20,000 people, since the beginning of April. So we have a pretty good idea of what people are saying to us. But you're trusted. People will tell you things that otherwise they wouldn't tell us or anybody else. So it is absolutely a partnership, just like it would be for the CAB or other sort of charity groups that I am in constant contact with. So absolutely, I'm grateful so much for the work that you guys do, but it's got to be a partnership, and we can't rely on you to do the job that we should be doing in government or elsewhere. So sure. I want to be able to empower people and give you the resources that you need, and in some ways you're better to deliver that than we would be, but you're not. You can't be the last and only port of call for people either.
Sure. Okay. Adrian, how would the Green Party kind of work with
local
churches?
Well, I mean, the Green Party is absolutely committed to putting funding into things like back into the Sure Start system. You know, we're talking about working with people and families right from when people are very small. So Sure Start, working through putting back youth centres, putting back the facilities into the communities that have been taken out because of so much cutting in government funding. So it is really, again, I suppose, like Jack says, it's about putting those pieces of the puzzle back into place, putting those organisations back into place so that people do have places to go. They're not always having to rely on the church or the Gurdwara or wherever it is that they're having to go to. So I think in all faiths, you know, all religions, it's about, you know, recognizing the work that they are doing, but putting the infrastructure in to actually support people from very young families and your small children right the way up through education, youth centers, and actually into where families need help. You know, that's what has been pulled out of society. That's where we've lost the funding. And that's what's got to come back. And the Green Party is absolutely serious about putting significant amounts of money into rebuilding those structures in our communities.
Can I ask you both about trust? I mean, trust is such an... It's a bit like hope, isn't it? We talked about hope earlier on. It's such an elusive thing, but so fundamentally important, I think, to the way that people will choose to vote. The national kind of dialogue seems always to erode trust. So I'm going to caricature. So, you know, Keir Starmer, with that interview on Sky News, he's being asked about Jeremy Corbyn, and it felt like in that moment you couldn't trust him. Now, I'm not saying you can't trust him. I don't know the guy at all, but there's a perception that gets created by the media, whether that's right or wrong, the perception is there about trust. With the Green Party, the perception that actually if we want to save the trees, you'll look after us, but if we're concerned about the hospitals or the roads, you might not because of your... That's the perception that gets banded around. How can we trust you as an individual? Jack, how can we trust you? And then how can we trust you?
Yeah, it's really difficult. And look, again, I'm not, the Conservatives aren't here to defend themselves, but you know, I think things like the parties in Downing Street over COVID or obviously what happened with Liz Truss over 40
years. So what about you? We know.
This is what I mean. I think, as I say, there is a cynicism that things can't get better. Mm-hmm. So there's a lack of trust there because they feel that they've taken their chances on certain votes over the last few years and actually things haven't got better, they've got worse. So that's definitely eroded trust there. Look, I'd also say this very gently. I don't think politicians or being MPs has been always the most popular profession anyway. I think we had fair amounts of scandals in the early 90s that people, I'm sure, will remember. You're never necessarily the most popular person. I think bankers are slightly less popular, but that would be about the only profession. I think trust, it comes in two ways. One, I think you've got to be honest with people. And as I said earlier, to make kind of pie-in-the-sky promises, whether it's we're going to spend all this money on X, Y, and Z and everything's going to be better tomorrow, people aren't buying that and they shouldn't buy it because we've had enough of that for a number of years now. I think also trust comes in time. So if I'm lucky enough to become an MP, you know, all the things I'm talking about today and elsewhere in the campaign, I've sort of got to fundamentally deliver them. And if I don't, people will vote me out. It's the it's slightly the weirdest job application. You have to keep going back every 5 years and you're on probation all the time, basically. So being honest with people about some of the challenges, trying to be authentic as well where you can, it's really, really difficult. You know, I was at Brighton the Corners last night and it was lovely. People come and have a chat. But you're thinking, it's 10:30 at night. I'm always on duty now. Mm-hmm. And so being able to sort of give people enough of yourself while sort of retaining a little bit of privacy for you and your family is difficult. The last thing I'd probably mention as well, which is something we're going to really have to grapple with, and I don't think we have, is around social media and AI. So I'm not saying Twitter has destroyed political debate, but there is no nuance when you're online sometimes. You've got 280 characters, and if you don't quite explain the position in that 280 tweets, which gives enough nuance, people don't, you know, as I say, never read the comments about you on social media. AI is going to be a real problem. You've got deep fakes. You've got things. It can be quite scary, right? So again, it's about giving people enough access and enough authenticity to you. And you will be judged by your record, right? So I can make any promises I want now. And people go, yeah, right, we've heard it all before. We'll give you our trust this time through your votes or whatever. But it fundamentally comes down to how you're going to deliver for people as well. So no magic bullet to that. I don't pretend I'm going to be someone coming in and suddenly all trust is restored in politics or anything. But it'll be about how I hold myself as an MP and what I deliver for the town that I will ultimately be held up to.
Thank you. Hey, Adrian, what about
yeah, I think there is a real problem. There is a real problem, isn't there? I mean, the politicians that we have seen on the television and the media, and it is just, it's so aggressive, it's so confrontational, and it's just, you know, how do you know who to trust? It becomes really a difficult thing to try and work that one out, and there's a real problem, and I get that on the doorstep as well.
What would help us trust you here in Ipswich?
I think with the Green Party, we should be trusted not just with the environment, because we actually have a whole manifesto. We are absolutely serious about all of the other issues that any of the major parties are talking about as well. But we've got across the country, we've got over 800 councillors now who've been elected. And universally, the feedback that we're getting, and we have in Mid-Suffolk, we actually have a council that's run as led by Green Party now. And that, what they're saying, what's coming back to us, is that those councillors are absolutely on the ground. They're part of that community. They are really working for those people, for those communities, day in, day out. So that is what you'll get also from an elected MP that is green. You've seen we've got obviously only one, unfortunately, down in Brighton. But you see that with the green MPs, you have got somebody who is really, really committed to what they're doing. They will be working day in, day. They're not career politicians. These are people who are really committed to what we're talking about, what we're saying. We really have the integrity that I think is lacking massively across so many parts of our political system.
Great. I'd love to pray for you both just for a moment, if that's all right. We thank you so much. What I said earlier on, total respect and hats off to those of you that get your head above the parapet and prepared to do good and serve the community. People like us are extremely grateful for people like you. We might disagree and all kinds of different things, but the fact that you're willing to get involved is to us a source of admiration. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for Jack, for Adria, for every single thing that they put their hand to that's good and just and right and merciful and gracious and kind and hope-filled and generous. Would you bless them individually, we pray, them and their families, we pray. And as they seek to serve the people of our town, may they know a sense of encouragement and support in the good that they seek to do. May we build those partnerships across this town for the common good. May all that seek the good of and welfare of the town flourish, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Adria and Jack, thank you ever so much indeed. Thank you so much.